Welcome to the Troy Thompson Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you tuned in today. Listen, it is my greatest passion to empower leaders to create a more hopeful culture and to lead with passion and relevancy for their generation. I trust that today's podcast will encourage you, will equip you, and will empower you as you go out and create a vibrant culture that perpetuates hope and growth wherever you are. Let's tune in.
Gathering of faith, but the pearl of great price must be, we have got to do a better job then of evangelizing, of letting them know, because last Sunday, really, it shook me to the core when I saw, because there's a few things that really are telltale in about a culture. When moms disengage from morality, we better be afraid. We should be shook by that. If moms are disengaging from faith, then that's a red flag that should go up. That right there should have sent shivers up your spine. Because without mothers, there's no conception, there's no birthing, there's no nurturing, and we will lose the generation of faith. We won't just lose them. The enemy will gain ground on us, and we've got to awaken to that. And I brought, you know, like when first there's some things I do when I wake up in the morning. You probably all do. But the first thing I do is I check the news. Nope, I don't go to CNN or Fox. I go to Facebook because that's where you get your real news. It's true. I mean, you get your fake news, you get your real news, you get your local news, your international stuff. Like, you can basically know what's happening in the world as it happens on Facebook. You know, a lot of the younger generation is like, Facebook's terrible. But listen, Facebook is the news now. It's you got to kind of discern what's real news. But when I turned on the news this morning, before I even got out of bed, I realized that they were running downtown in the rain. And I thought to myself, they'll run in the rain, but they won't worship in the comfort of a pew. We have to adjust our sails and say, okay, they're not going to come here. Then we have to adjust and go. Somehow we've got to figure this out to where we put our fingers on the pulse of our culture and we reach inside up to of our culture's hearts and we begin to massage them and bring them to a place of awakening faith and awakening the reality of the promises of destiny and purpose that's found in Christ and no other. Because if we don't, the whole thing, our kids will be playing basketball on Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoons rather than praising and receiving words of truth for their life. And this morning in Lorraine, Pastor Dominic, there was some graduates, and he welcomed them up and they prayed over them. And I thought to myself, and one of them was Abby, and her mom died this last year. And I thought to myself, how powerful is it that the Church of the Living God is praying for this young lady? She lost her mother, but this church, the bride of Christ, is stepping in and praying for her future, declaring what God says over her, declaring, you know, renouncing the works of the enemy over her life, cursing sickness and disease, and just declaring how powerful it is that we perpetuate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our time and don't fall asleep doing it. So I just want to thank you for continuing to do that, staying faithful to ministry, staying faithful to your assignments, your missions, to the visions of God that He has for our region. He has incredible vision for our region. So thank you for your faithfulness to the vision and partnering with your mission to that vision. So let's pray for it. Father, we thank you for every gift and every giver today. We bless it. We thank you for those giving online, and we just bless them as well. We renounce and we curse poverty and lack and insufficiency and oppression and depression. And we thank you, God, that as your promises are sowed in our lifetime, we will see a manifestation of them that will carry us through to the next generations and generations beyond. We bless it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Receive that. If you have your Bible, go with me to Esther. You can stick your finger in Esther 2. Now, this message that I'm about to speak today, I spoke for Mother's Day last week in Lorraine and Value, and I thought this message is such a hinge upon which God is working in our time that I thought I have to share it in all the other campuses as well, because it's not just for Mother's Day, but it is for this season. And so I wanted to share it with you. There's this movement that's taking place in the earth by divine orchestration. And those recognizing Kairos interactions can feel the impending shaking that's about to take place. And if you have any kind of sense of spiritual awareness at all, you can feel, can't you? You can feel something happening in the atmosphere. There's this shaking that's taking place in the atmosphere. The Bible says some things about when God's word is released. You know, Isaiah says, "So shall my word be. So shall, when I send it forth, it shall not return unto me void, but accomplished and prospered for the thing for which I sent it to do." Another text says, "Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper." You know, talking about the word of God, believing in the word of God, trusting in what has been spoken generations ago. And if you believe in the word of God, you'll be, established. Believe in his prophets and you will prosper. This other text in the New Testament says, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." Now, last couple weeks ago, I spoke about, Bob Jones and Lou speaking about, what he declared. And I said, and it wasn't no irreverence attached to it, but I said, I don't even know Bob Jones. And what I meant to say with that is, like, what Bob Jones spoke was so true that it resonated deeply with me, and I didn't even know him. I'm generations removed from him. And what Bob Jones spoke was so powerful that when it hits my spirit, it quickens me. It wakes me back up to the realities of prophecies of things spoken about a time of which is to come, and that I feel like we're right on the verge of. And I how I was born in the midst of, I was born in the time of revival, but never have experienced the revival. I feel like I live in famine, but I still have revival on the inside of me. And so when I see little glimpses of it, I recognize it, and I'm shaken, and I wake up, and I'm like, "Whew! This is the thing. This is why I breathe. This is why I'm here." It's to breathe in revival. But Jesus says this. He said, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." What's a prophet's reward? But a manifestation of what the prophet spoke. He said, if you believe in what was spoken about what is to come, you'll receive a manifestation of what was spoken. Now that's powerful. You begin to think about all of the things that God has pronounced over your life, and then suddenly that makes more sense. Suddenly that quickens your spirit to say, let me not believe in what I see, but rather let me believe in what I've heard about me that have been spoken prophetically through the cross. Like, that's why it was so powerful to see Abby stand up there and people praying over her. Because what they were praying was, "I see what God's about to do with your life. I see how God's about to take you, and he's about to change the world with you, and God's going to do all these amazing things with you. And if you'll believe that, Abby, if you'll hold on to that, Abby, then you'll receive a manifestation of that." And most of the time, we grow weary in well-doing because we let go of what was previously spoken over us through the Spirit. I love what Paul says to Timothy. "Timothy, by the prophecies previously made, fight the good fight." What he's saying is, trust in the word of the Lord over your life, and what you'll see is a manifestation of those words over your life. He's saying, listen, if you'll trust that rather than what you see, rather than how you feel, then what you're about to walk into is you're about to defeat the enemy that's fighting you, because he's fighting you to keep from manifesting the thing that was spoken over you. There's been some things spoken over you through the Father, and the enemy's like, "I can't keep that, so I got to keep your heart discouraged. I got to keep you distracted by everything that's taking place out here. I got to make you trust in horses and chariots, but not the Spirit of the Lord. I got to have you trust in your bank account, but not what God said about you. I got to get you to trust in everything and anything other than what God spoke over your life. Because if I can do that, then I can keep the manifestation from taking place in your life. I can keep you distracted. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred." It's funny. He doesn't say manifestation deferred. He said, if I could just keep you hopeless, I'll make you sick. But the power of hope, power and hope of what was spoken, makes you well. it makes you revitalize, keeps you alive, keeps you living for tomorrow. So I just say those things as a precursor to what I feel like God is doing. That if we'll hold on to promises rather than trust what we see. Hold on to promises rather than what we trust what you see. It's easy. It's easy to trust what you see when you look around. Because all the evidence supports it. You look at millennials. It's easy to look at them and begin to agree with the reason of this age. But it's tough to close your eyes and live by faith and pronounce by faith what God says about them. Esther 2. In Shushan the citadel, verse 5. In Shushan the citadel, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Kish, and he was a Benjamite. Kish had been carried away from Jerusalem with captives who had been captured with Jeconiah, the king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. I want you to keep in mind here that Esther is living in captivity. She is in exile. She is under Babylonian rule. Okay? And Mordecai brought up Hadassah. Mordecai brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that as it goes forth, it quickens us. It transforms us. When your word goes forth, it chases away darkness. We thank you, Lord, that it heals, mends, it soothes, it encourages. Thank you for your word. We release it now to do its work in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name. With every single promise born, there's a woman full of faith to fight to bring it to birth. Every single promise. With every barren pronouncement, there was a true feminist to trust God for her royal rights in the kingdom, in the Bible. You search the Bible and what you will see, that every promise came out of a barren womb. Every promise. Every woman who bore a promise seed came out of a pronounced dead womb. And that so speaks to the day in which we live. That there is that the enemy would declare in our day and in our time that everything you're hoping for and believing for is dead. That every promise, isn't that the work of the enemy? That every promise you would believe for, he would try to discourage you, and he would try to convince you that there's no way that God could bring life to that situation, that there's no way God could redeem that there's no way God could restore that it is an impossible situation to believe for, that is dead and you should let it be dead. But then there are these women of faith who would stand in defiance to the pronouncement of barrenness and by faith believe for the promises in the face of every normal rational decision. They would stand there and they would say, nope, I believe that I will conceive. I believe that my womb shall bear forth the promise seed, and every one of them become born. And if you think about how that relates to the church today. So I'm talking about women. So when I talk about Esther, I want you to keep in mind, men, that I'm still talking to you. Because Esther is a type of church in the book of Esther. She's a type of bride of Christ in the book of Esther. But I'm also referring to the mothers in the house. And you, perhaps you're not a mom, but you are a mother to this region. Perhaps you didn't birth a child, but you are a mother to this nation, a mother of faith to this nation. And God is awakening the spirit of Esther to foster a movement of deliverance and revival for our nation. Watch this. Now, the story of Esther is so amazing because not only was she a mother of her time, a bride of her time that replaced the queen that wouldn't operate according to the king's delight. So because of that, God saw fit to remove Vashti and slide in Esther as a type of church to preserve and deliver her children. Because remember, she's under oppression. If you like, I'm assuming there's a lot of I'm assuming you know a lot of scripture right now. I know I'm making quite a jump here, but Esther was custom fit, tailor fit, as a woman of her day, a true feminist, contrary to what you would call a feminist today, who better to be an advocate for women's rights than the one who spent her time in the royal courts of a king? Okay, so she was a true feminist. She knew the rights of women, and she was the one who was chosen to spend time in the royal courts of a king to intercede for them. So she's a type of church. And so not only does she bring deliverance to her people, but she revives the heart of her people. She brings revival to the heart of her people. And so every woman in here, can I get you to just stand for me? Just stand, every woman. And what I want to do is I want to applaud the faith that you carry. And I want to pronounce over you the spirit of Esther in greater measure, in greater proportion today. I want to thank you for carrying the promise thus far. I want to thank you for overcoming all of the things you've had to overcome in your life. I want to thank you for fighting through doubt, fighting through situations that may, perhaps financially would have you know, made others collapse, but you still stayed true in faith. You see, the resilience that you carry within you is the one thing that our nation needs. Not just our families. Our nation needs the spirit of Esther in you to come alive so that way it can break this spirit of depression over our nation. It can bring with it a revival with it. This third great awakening that we speak about is being carried in your womb. Who better to fight and advocate for the rights of children, of the unborn, than mothers? Mothers of faith. Esther's of faith. Who better to carry the promise of revival, of a third great awakening to the nation, than the women in this room? I want to thank you for believing in faith when all others quit. For not abandoning your faith, for not laying down your faith when it got tough, for not quitting. I want to thank you for staying in faith even when it was hard. You are applauded. I declare a spirit of Esther would come upon you in greater proportion. I declare it in your marriage, in your homes, where you work. I declare it in every conversation you encounter. I pray that the nation would feel the spirit of Esther upon you. That you've been sent in front of them to preserve, to bring deliverance to the children that are heroin addicted, to bring deliverance to a nation that doesn't know truth anymore, to declare to the next generation of children, to the current generation, the next generation, the generations in front, what truth really is, and to know the power of a praying and believing mom. I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. I know the power of a mother, of a praying mom. You know, Becca, she's got this thing. It doesn't matter where we're at. It doesn't matter where we're at. This is how I know the faith of a mom is so real. Because we'll be in the car, it doesn't matter where we're at. And she'll say, all she has to do is say this one thing. And she says this, and the children, doesn't matter, they will come back with, and if she were to say this, Jeremiah, heaven and earth, doesn't matter where we're at. She expects that to come out of her children's mouth. If she says heaven and earth, precious and Jeremiah, they will immediately respond with declaring his glory. The faith of mom placed in the heart and of a child that says heaven and earth, and it resounds back declaring his glory. The power of that faith carries the generations. God is awakening. Esther 2. She was a true feminist. And it brings more than revival, it brings deliverance. Matthew 2:18. A voice was heard in Ramah. Lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Mothers are beginning to cry out for the atrocities of their children of our time. Senseless murders. Addiction. How will our children understand their authority, their destiny, their purpose, and that the church operate in full purpose, her spiritual legacy and authority? We must become an advocate for the rights bestowed upon the church. Here's this thing. Esther was to become the bride. And in order for revival to come, there must be this process that takes place with us. This revival and deliverance is preceded by preparation. Esther 2, verse 12. Each young woman's turn came to be with the king. And after she had completed 12 months of preparation, according to the regulations for women, for thus were the days of their preparation apportioned, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. So you mean to tell me that Esther spent 6 months in oil? That word there, oil, it's shemen. It's found in Isaiah 10:27. And it says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing of oil. So what Isaiah here is saying is that the only way burdens will be removed and cast off is through the anointing oil on the bride, on Esther. That the only way there will come deliverance to our time, the only way our children will walk into revival is if the bride of our time be soaked in the oil, the shemen of God. That means she spent so much time in the oil of God. She soaked in the oil of God. And if we are going to ever see deliverance for our children, if we are ever going to see a revival take place in our time, we must return back to the soaking of his presence. There must be this return to the priority of spending time, enough time to allow his presence to permeate and go beyond what is superficial, to go beyond what is comfortable, to go beyond what is convenient, to go beyond, you know, because it's raining outside, I won't go, to go beyond all of these things and to get to a place where we saturate ourselves with presence and we don't make itineraries our priority, but we make his presence our priority and we allow his presence to go beyond just this just our skin. We allow it to get down into our pores. So when we come out of presence, there's this softness about us, and we carry that oil wherever we go. This oil has to get down on the inside of us. It has to be such a part of us that whenever we encounter then the yokes that of oppression that are found in Babylon, then suddenly they can't stand it anymore. They're broken off of our children. They're broken off of our children. We can't allow the yokes that we've carried for all of our generations to be transferred over to a generation and then to not feel as any sense of responsibility to it. Mordecai addresses this later. He said, don't you go thinking that this yoke of destruction is going to miss you because you spend some time up there with those folks. It's not going to miss you. And so he said, listen, you get better realize that these yokes, they want to come from generation to generation. Babylon's interested in keeping our children yoked. And the only thing that destroys the yoke, the prophet said, is this oil. Is this oil. And so we've got to, and we must make in our lives a priority, his presence. Bible references as him as the Messiah, which is the oily one. It's a reference to his anointing. And he is the one who produces this oil. Christ, the oily one, the Messiah. Jesus Christ is not his last name. It's a reference to his anointing. And the shemen is found only on the king. The shemen, this oil, is found only on our king. And it is said of Esther that she spent time soaking. And if we will ever see the bondage broke of our time, if we're ever going to see a release of revival and deliverance over our children, think about the things that oppress our children today. And we talked about it a little bit last night, what they face with social media, the perversion that they're faced with every day, the addiction that they're faced with. Just think about the industry of the sinister industry of pornography. And how it plots its way to manipulate our young girls and our young men, and yoke them up and bind them up and keep them trapped. And the prophet says that the only way you can break that yoke is through the oil of the presence of Christ. That's the only way it can be broken. The only way our marriages can be healed, through the oil and the presence of Christ. The only thing good enough, the only thing that's powerful enough to break that yoke over our lives is the oil of Christ. And then it says she spent some time in myrrh, 6 months in myrrh. Myrrh. Her name, Esther, means myrtle. It's the Persian name she was given. Myrtle. It's a reference to myrrh. The flower of the myrtle tree. And this flower from the myrtle tree, the oils from this flower, from what somebody sent me, suggests that they cure disease, the oil found. But more than that, this flower, this myrtle flower, and Esther was called, she was named after the myrtle flower. More than that, there was a scent. And it says that she spent 6 months soaking in myrrh. Myrrh. So when she came out of the soaking in myrrh and she encountered the king recognized the scent that was upon her. Because myrrh was only found in the most luxurious places. And so it was commonly found in Persian houses, Persian kings' houses. And so the scent of myrrh would have been associated with royalty. And so when she came into the presence of the king would then extend the scepter to her because he recognized the scent of royalty upon her. There's this there were a few times when I remember praying, when then suddenly there was this scent of anointing oil that would fill the room. And this fragrance, it's one of a kind. You can't, you'll know it when you encounter it, and many of you have. And I remember praying, and I remember looking around, and suddenly the room was full of the scent of this oil. And there, the scriptures tell us that Christ has a fragrance. That when Mary came into his presence, she broke this alabaster box of oil. And when she broke that oil box, that suddenly the fragrance filled the room. It said that the fragrance happened when she filled the room. And Jesus recognized that smell as royalty, as coming from a royal place. It says that when we pray, our prayers ascend up into the heavenlies. And there is this scent that comes with it. That reminds God of his royalty, of his royal promises, and the scent of royalty. And it says that she spent 6 months soaking in myrrh. Because what she wanted to happen was, she wanted that king to know, I smell like royalty. I smell like royalty, and it entreats the favor of the king. And when the favor of the king has been entreated, the king extends to her the scepter and says, what do you want? And if we're ever going to get the favor of our king, there must be a return back to the place of soaking in myrrh, of praying in his presence, to allow his fragrance to get so saturated on us that wherever we go, we release a fragrance of his presence that entreats his favor. And that wherever we go, there's this fragrance found on us that smells just like our king. And he gives us favor. And so I recognize that smell on you. That's the smell of my presence. That smell on you is only found on those who know the courts of their God. That smell that's on your life is only found in a place called prayer. And because I recognize it, I know you've been in a place called prayer. I give you my favor. Esther knew this. So she soaked in myrrh. Psalms 45:6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia. And out of the ivory places by which you have made, they made you glad. I'll close with this. Mordecai is found in the gate. Mordecai was Esther's uncle. And he was often found in the gate. In the gate, they found Mordecai. And there was this crisis because Haman had gotten a hold of the signet ring of the king. And he began to pronounce unjust decrees. He hijacked the signet ring of the king, and he corrupted the authority of the king, and he pronounced death and destruction over a people. And that's happened a lot in our day. The truth has been hijacked and corrupted. I recently sat in a meeting with a man, a senator, and I thought to myself, this is interesting, because no authority given under heaven. It's only given by God's will. I thought to myself, I'm the one who has the signet ring. You're pretending to have a signet ring. But the powers and principalities, I realized that I was kind of a Mordecai. I realized that God had put me at the gates of cities as men to protect the bride. I realized at that moment the mission of every Mordecai was to preserve the honor and the life of the bride, Esther. Can I get every man to stand? I want to declare over you the spirit of Mordecai. I realize what Persia's tried to do to you. I realize how the culture of our day has attempted to captivate and allure you in such a way to make you attempt to manipulate the signet ring of your king for your gain. How the culture of our day has sexualized every Esther and tried to strip her of her dignity and abuse her. But today I want to remind you, Mordecai, of the reason for which you are here. And that is to preserve the gates of the kingdom. That is to remind Esther of why she is here. That is to cover the bride, to protect Esther. And when Esther begins to forget about who she is, that it is your responsibility to let her know, no, that's not who you are. Your name is not Esther. That's the name Persia gave you. When your wife or your daughters or the church begins to forget who she is, it's up to Mordecai's to defend her, to remind her, you are not Esther. You will not trade your heritage for this culture. Your name is Hadassah. And Hadassah means hidden. To remind every woman in this room and every woman you encounter of the value and the purpose that was placed on her as a mother. To remind her of the faith. And when she begins to doubt it, you let her know. You say, no, it is for this reason, for such a time as this, God has brought you to the kingdom. When she begins to doubt within herself, when the bride loses her mission, it is your responsibility as Mordecai's to stand at the gate and say, this is why you exist, church. To stand up and say, for such a time as this, God brought you here. You belong in the courts of your king, Hadassah. You've been hidden away in time for right now. For right now. God has kept you hidden for right now. For such a time as this right now. To preserve her, to keep her, to remind her of her beauty, to never let her forget the value she has, to never let her lose faith, to declare over her life the promises of God, to let her know that inside of her there is deliverance and revival. And you got to protect it. So Lord, I declare, Spirit of Mordecai, come. Spirit of Mordecai, come now like never before. Come upon every man in this room. Every man listening. Remind us, oh God. Remind us again, oh God. Remind us of our mission to preserve
to bless our wives, to bless our mothers, to bless the church, to protect it, to preserve it, to strengthen it with all that we have. I declare spirit of Mordecai. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit. So let me remind you of your pedigree. Down, Mike. Amen. Amen. That's good. I want to remind you. Hadassah, I want to remind you that you've been hidden away for this moment, right now. Remind you where you came from so you don't forget it. You come from the tribe of Benjamin. You're the son of my right hand. You come from one of the smallest tribes, but mighty. Remind them. Be reminded of it. As we prepare to close, I pray that you would pray this prayer with me. Covenant today with me to seek the courts of the King. To live with oil, which means to soak in his presence, to carry the oil that destroys the yoke, to smell like myrrh, to spend time in prayer, to entreat his favor over our lives, to walk in identity and responsibility, to never forget, never allow the church to forget who she really is, to usher in the greatest movement of deliverance and revival the world has ever known. Bless you, Lord. I'd like to come by every one of you and just anoint you with this oil. If that's okay, if it's not, just let me know. I'm just going to touch your head, okay? Father, I thank you that this oil, God, it carries the scent of a king. Scent of our Messiah. I thank you, Lord. For deliverance. I thank you, Lord. Yokes destroyed. Bondages broken. In Jesus' name. Every attack of the enemy. Broken and destroyed. I thank you, God, for mighty deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for the favor of the King. Thank you, Lord, for faith that does not fail. Thank you, Lord, for restoration. Thank you, Lord. The oil that's found in your presence. The scent of the King. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Restore Jesus. Heal Jesus. Heal Jesus. Make alive. Dreams. Dream again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Yes, God. Let your joy unspeakable. Your presence, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Your presence. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. One more time. Do it in our day, God. Do it in our day. Awaken revival. Bring deliverance in our day. Worship with me. They say this movement started in California. It moved across the country, they said. Jumped across the ocean. That was about 40 years ago. Then I read something that said that today we still sing the songs of that movement. That Hillsong and some of these other places, other bands, they're singing the songs of a movement that took place some 40 years ago. And I thought to myself, how strong was that move of God that even today we're still singing the songs of that move of God? And I thought to myself, I'm not satisfied living in a time that's not producing a movement that creates its own sound, that creates its own move, that creates its own identity. I'm not comfortable living in a time where I'm recycling somebody else's movement. God, I must see, I must hear, I must feel, I must be a part of my own movement, of my own day. And God said, listen, Troy, I want to do it and I want to release it. But listen, I need a people who will stop sleeping. I need a people who will wake up and participate in the promises of God that I have for the earth. I need them to believe one more time. They don't have to believe big. They just have to believe enough. They just have to live by faith enough. And what if I were to tell you, what if I were to tell you that the beauty we seek tomorrow is only found in the seeds of hope and promise we sow today? What if I were to tell you that we have the potential today to create a movement that our children will walk in forever? What if I were to say that your seed, where's Lika? Where your seed is just as significant as their seed, whoever they are. What if I were to tell you that the anointing on your life, that the influence on your life is just as influential as my life or Pastor Kayton's life or Pastor Dom's life or I don't know, name somebody, Bishop T.D. Jakes or Andy Stanley. What if I were to tell you that your influence is just as good as his? That the seed you have inside of you is just as powerful as his. What if I were to tell you that your move, that your faith and Lika, I wanted you to be here because I just felt like specifically you need to know. The anointing on you, it's like what he told Jeremiah. Jeremiah, looking, I got this suit for you, and this suit is custom fit for the times of which you live, and when time is ready, I'm going to release you and the suit together into time. And I feel like God just wants you to know specifically that he has custom tailor fit your worship, your influence, your anointing for this revival and this movement right now, that the sound you carry, it need not compete Like, that just goes across the board. Like, the anointing you carry need not compete with anybody. But specifically, Lika, God is telling you specifically, you've got to release that and you've got to walk in the confidence of my anointing on your life. You must stop living in the shadows of what might be or what could have. You must begin to emerge because he's put you together for right now. So I just declare it over every one of us, that our collective faith is more beautiful than our singular faith. That what we sow together has the potential to provocate a movement, to provoke a movement so powerful that they'll be singing your songs. Like, that's crazy, right? That shouldn't even be the case. Like, that's arrogant to believe it. No, I just believe that's faith to believe it. Because I believe there's people with cancer that need to be healed. There's a young boy named Cameron. He's got, they've given him days to live. But I believe there could be a move of God that starts in this right now. And so what I'm asking you to do is mark on the back of this envelope, like, what you're believing for. Like, right now, today, what are we, like, to dream big and say, God, I'm believing for this. And here's the deal. When you sow this, we're going to give you a whole bunch of these flowers, these seeds. And you're going to take them home and you're going to sow them. And if you're not sowing anything, that's all right. Please just come get some of these and pray. Plant prayers. And then when you pray, you take these home and you plant them. Now watch. You're going to take these home and you're going to plant them. And here's what we're going to do. In years and years and years from now, generations will go by and we'll look at those flowers in our front yard or at the school or in our neighbor's flower bed, and we'll be reminded of that time when God began to do something with all of us and how we sowed together and believed God. We believe God for the impossible situations for our family members, the impossible situations that face our children, the impossible situations at our work. We believe God on that one day, and it started a move of God so powerful that 40 years from now, our children are still singing that song. 40 years from now, they're painting pictures from that one time that God moved in Northeast Ohio, and he started an outbreak of his presence that was undeniable. Couldn't have started by the wisdom or the intelligence of man. It was something that started by the finger of God. Amen? So let's sow together today. And we're going to put these. I don't know where we're going to put these. Where are we going to put these? Just kind of give me a couple people to hold these. Or no, just hold that bag right there. And so, can I get an offer? That other bag, Josh? Okay, can you come over here and hold this one over here? So, like, when you give, like, place this in Pastor Michelle's bag and then pick up a handful of those. But the deal is this. Don't let me go home with these today. Take as many as you can so we're not left with any of these. Amen? Let's pray for your giving today. Thank you for giving in Spring Seed, the Red Cord Project. Father, we thank you today that as we sow today, we begin to partner with you to move on the earth like never before. That God, as we partner with you today, we are believing that dead situations now suddenly become fruitful. That the wombs that were pronounced barren now suddenly carry destiny, promise, and hope for the future. God, that today we plant a seed that our children's children's children will walk in years after we're gone. It will testify of the faithfulness, that songs will be born from this, that pictures will be painted from this, God, that sermons and God, that songs will be written, God, that lives will be impacted by the move of God that starts from sowing a seed today and believing for revival and deliverance for our generations to come. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can come now and you can do that as you're coming. Just kind of, let's all stand. And what I would invite you to do is just, as you give, you can kind of hang around at the altar and we can worship together for a little bit. But you can come now. Come on. Time to release a sound. Time to release a sound. The earth is
thirsty for a sound. Tired of singing the same songs. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
It's time by our giving to rebuild the temple. He spoke it to Haggai. And he said, you know, go up and get the timbers out of the mountain. First rebuild my temple. Our seed is about the temple. Our seeds today, thank you, Jesus, is the rebuilding of your temple. Your temple, because your temple is out there. And it needs to be revived. Thank you, Jesus, for the spirit of revival right here. Right here in this room. Thank you for the spirit of revival that's in the belly of Pastor Troy. Thank you, God, for his passion and his mission. And God, we want to go with him to rebuild your temple. Thank you. It's here.
Yes.
It's here in this area. It's here in Northeast Ohio. It's here, God. It's here. And Lord Jesus, as you spoke it in Haggai, it was Haggai 2, verse 20. It says, the Lord sent the second message to Haggai on December 18th. Tell Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, that I'm about to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow royal thrones, destroying the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overturn their chariots and their charioteers. The horses will fall and the riders will kill each other. But when this happens, says the Lord Almighty, I will honor you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, and I will treat you like a signet ring on my finger, says the Lord, for I have specially chosen you. I, the Lord Almighty, has spoken. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your signet ring. Whew, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, God, for what you've done in our hearts today. We pray as we leave this place, there would be a release of oil, that there would be a scent, that there would be a breaking of bondages and yokes that carries with us. That we would have the favor that's found in the courts of our King. Bless us today as we go, God. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives and in our time. We partner with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
This is Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you took the time to listen into the podcast today. If you like what you heard, you can go to the website cnclove.org for more. You are a culture creator. Go out today and create culture. Make the world a better place, a more hopeful place. It was a pleasure being with you.